about what really happens during this time, what happens for all of us as we accept Yeshua as our Messiah. But there's this thing called atonement. Yom Kippur is the Day of Atonement. And atonement basically is when our sins are taken away, when our sins are removed from us. Yom Kippur, translated as the Day of Atonement, Leviticus chapter 16 explains how in ancient Israel, the high priest once a year would go directly to meet with God face to face. They would go into the Holy of Holies. And there was this elaborate set of rituals in ancient Israel. You can read about it in Leviticus chapter 16. It involved two goats. And there was atonement that was made in the holy place where God would dwell with his people to make atonement for his people. I just want to read from Leviticus 16, verses 29 and 30. And it shall be a statute to you forever that in the seventh month, in the tenth day of the month, you shall afflict yourselves and should do no work, either the native or the stranger who sojourns among you. For on this day shall atonement be made for you to cleanse you, that you may be clean before the Lord from all your sins. And that's what Yom Kippur is all about. That's what we're here for. That's what the Lord is doing in our midst. And when we look at Yom Kippur itself, the word Kippur, what does it mean? Well, it means atonement, but it means to cover, to purge, to make reconciliation. Basically, it reconciles us to God. As I mentioned last night, God is holy and we are not. And we have so many things, all those things that we said with Al-Chet, that come between us and God. And in Yom Kippur, we can hopefully have all those removed and we can connect with God. That separation from God has been lifted. That separation from God has been taken away, and no longer does God have his face hidden from us because of our sin. And so we can be reconciled to him at this time. God in his great mercy provides this means of atonement. Now, if we look at the Tanakh, we can see that we do have this massive sin problem. The book of Isaiah, the prophet Isaiah in Isaiah 59, 1 and 2 says this: "Behold, the Lord's hand is not shortened that it cannot save, or his ear dull that it cannot hear, but your iniquities have made a separation between you and God, and your sins have hidden his face from you, so he does not hear." So what happens is when we sin willfully, God cannot be in our presence. He has hidden his face from us, as it says in Isaiah, and he does not hear us. So we're closed off from atonement. But in God's great compassion and his mercy and his chesed, he's provided a way. And Leviticus 17:11, that central scripture in Torah, says this: "For the life of the flesh is in the blood, and I've given it to you on the altar to make atonement for your souls. It is the blood that makes atonement by the life." Now, Israel was given this elaborate sacrificial system back in the day, and you would bring your animals to God, and there was all these rituals and things that had to take place. You would bring your grain to God, and you would sacrifice it to Hashem to be atoned for your sins. But today, each and every one of us, if we follow Yeshua, as followers of Yeshua, as followers of the one who came 2,000 years ago, we believe that Yeshua is that atonement for us, that Yeshua takes away our sins. Isaiah speaks of a suffering servant who dies for the sins of the people. I'm not going to go into Isaiah, but Isaiah 52:53 outlines this. And in the Brit Chadashah, the New Testament, we understand, we see the full effect of what Yeshua does for us when he atones for our sins. Romans chapter 3, verses 23 to 25. "For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God and are justified by his grace as a gift through the redemption that is in Messiah Yeshua, whom God put forward as a propitiation by his blood to be received by faith. This was to show God's righteousness, because in his divine forbearance, he had passed over former sins." And that's in essence what this is all about. Yeshua has made atonement for us so we can have closeness to God. Last scripture this morning, 1 John chapter 2, verse 2. He is a propitiation for our sins, and not only for ours, but also for the sins of the whole world. Our cantor mentioned it a little while ago. You know, Jewish people get together, and those that are sojourning, we get together. We're a small fraction of the earth right now. But God, in his abundant mercy, not only has a series of atonement for Israel, but it's for the entire world. And that's what 1 John tells us. And so we know that one day that atonement will cover the globe and God's atonement will spread to all people. And so we wait for that. We hope for that. And on this Yom Kippur, we can have that assurance. Even though we're fasting and afflicting ourselves, even though we're feeling a little bit depressed, even though we're feeling a little bit down, and it's, you know, difficult, we have to remember that God has good news for us, and that good news is atonement for our souls in the Messiah, Yeshua. So as we close our Yizkor service, I'm just going to simply close the service with a prayer. Lord, Avinu Malkeinu, our Father and our King, we thank you and praise you, God, because we've read all of these prayers, we've chanted all of these things, we've said all of these things, and we're remembering, Lord, how far we are from you at this time. For the sins that we committed in your sight, you see it all. Nothing gets past you, Lord. But we thank you that in your great chesed, Lord, that you've provided a way of atonement for us, and that through Yeshua and his death and his atonement, we can come before you. And that separation where you hid your face from us is gone, and we can come directly before you, even like the high priest did on Yom Kippur. So we're thankful, Lord God, on this Yom Kippur that atonement is made and that our sins are forgiven and that we are washed clean by the blood of the Lamb. We thank you, God, and we praise you on this Yom Kippur and every day in Yeshua's name. Amen.